welcome to a day of being relaxed and awake. I'm Dan Clareman, and we'll be combining throughout today the Feldenkrais method and meditation, mindfulness meditation, and other types of mindfulness meditations that are very much focused on the body and opening up the body. So, a little background. I've been doing Feldenkrais work for close to 25 years. I found it's something that's quite amazing in many ways, and its abilities to open us up to the potentials of our own healing, to give people a greater sense of ease and a reacquaintance with the healing powers of the body and the abilities of our body minds to integrate completely. So we'll be bringing that in throughout the day in a series of themes, which will become clearer, and combining it with periods of meditation, both sitting meditation and walking, moving meditation as well. I'm curious, how many people have done the Feldenkrais method in some form before? Oh, and how many haven't? Okay. How many people have meditated or practiced, done some meditation practice? A lot of people, and how many haven't? Okay. You're in the right place. So I'd like to begin, well, because people will still be coming in, I'd like to begin with a short meditation. And the way we'll do this is in a very relaxed way. The meditation and Feldenkrais will blend. So we'll start out with just a really simple kind of meditative orientation. And that is to just find a comfortable position, and you can meditate sitting, if you want. You can meditate lying down. Throughout the day, you'll hear me emphasizing, make yourself comfortable. Now, many times when you're meditating, things will come up which are uncomfortable, but be comfortable in dealing with your uncomfortableness. So whatever position works for you is fine. And then to begin, simply become aware of your natural breathing. The breath can always be a good guide, a good anchor, a good resource for simply attuning to the presence of your body, mind, just as it is. So as you become aware of your breathing, you'll notice your own natural rhythm, the inhalation and the exhalation. And you just rest with that. You just simply are aware of that natural movement within yourself. You may notice sights, sounds, sensations arising. That's fine. Just to notice those and come back to breathing. Mindfulness is really about noticing what's occurring. Moment by moment by moment. And just being with what's occurring, however it is occurring. Not trying to alter it. Just noticing what's occurring. And for now, we're keeping it really simple. Just being with the breath. Thank you. If you find thoughts arise and like a train coming through a station, somehow your attention has gotten on board with that, you just notice that and then come back to the breath again. If you wish, you can even pick a spot of the rising and falling of your abdomen or the sense of the air coming across your nostrils. If that helps you attune to your breathing, that's fine. And now we'll open up the meditation to include listening to sounds. So you always have your breath to come back to. You can stay with the breath whenever you wish. And now you're just also taking in whatever sounds are occurring. Listening itself is a form of pure meditation, in that listening really doesn't require any effort. The field of listening is totally open, unobstructed. It just simply takes in whatever sounds occur. They can be internal sounds of the body, they can be external sounds. So you're just opening to listening, being mindful of what you hear naturally, and you can just rest in the sense of listening. There's no effort to listening. It's totally open. You can even take listening as an attitude of meditation. Just listening. Just resting in the open space of listening to the body-mind, to the environment. Whenever you wish, you can always come back to the natural rhythm of your breathing. Just resting in the vast open field of listening. You might even notice that listening itself has a quality of simply being open to any sound that arises. It's almost a sense of welcoming. It's like being open to your openness. Whenever you wish, you can always return to the natural rhythm of your breathing, becoming aware of that. Just resting in the sense of openness, listening. Being the openness of listening itself. If you find attention becomes caught up in thoughts or sensations or anything else, you can always return to your natural breathing as a way to become a bit more anchored in your mindfulness. You could even notice the fact that you are simply aware as well. Whatever the nature of your experience, sensations, thoughts, feelings, sights, sounds, you are aware, naturally and effortlessly aware. Simply aware of whatever is unfolding moment to moment. Listening not only to sounds, but you could say listening to experience itself. when you hear the sound of the bell, you can just include that as part of your meditation. Just to hear the sound echoing through you, through the room, through all of us, in the vast field of just simply being aware of listening. If you want, you can open your eyes and take in the sights as well as part of being aware of being mindful.
With great respect and with great kindness, it's an honor to welcome you all to Spirit Rock and to the Great Hall. My name is Christina Tavera. I am the event coordinator for this event. And I was thinking this morning how lucky we are all are. I knew we had 80 people and that the hall was going to be full. And I'm just always so thrilled when everyone chooses to hang out here at Spirit Rock with the rest of us and share the land. So welcome. May I ask again how many new people there are to Spirit Rock? Okay, we have almost 50%. Great. Most of these announcements, those of you who've been here before will have heard, so you can continue to meditate. And for those of you who are new, you want to pay extra special attention. I always thank the volunteers. They have these name tags that are hanging off their necks. They're going to be in the room all day with you. We could not do these events without the volunteerism that happens here. They arrived, some of them, at 8:20 this morning because they were afraid of that email that we sent out about the parade, and they will be here till 5 o'clock, and they will be doing everything from cleaning the bathrooms to helping you with spills. And if you could be extra nice to them today, maybe they'll come and volunteer again next week, and we can do this again. Dan Klerman, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's very nice to have you here. He's already introduced himself, but I do want to highlight that he has two beautiful books and a CD out for sale out in the lobby. These are not normally in our bookstore, so if you're interested in what he has written, please feel free to pick that up today. It's a self-pay on that. And we're always excited to have you here. It's so cool to have you here alone. This is cool. All right, so here are the things that you can, some of you can not listen to. Get comfortable. You're in here all day. If you don't need a chair and would like extra room, you can remove the chair to the back of the room and we'll get rid of it for you. Tons of cushions, blankets, more yoga mats all on the wall. Feel free to make yourself comfortable. I do ask you to be mindful that you're leaving an aisle way for people to move around wherever it's possible. You get extra Dharma points if you help us put all your cushions, blankets, and roll up your yoga mats in a really good way so that we can put it away later on. Really, really great time to turn your cell phone off, completely off. No electronica in this room. That would be helpful for anyone with sensitivities. If you're having trouble hearing me, a hearing-assisted device is your friend, and they exist on that back wall. Don't be shy. Please, please, please. The other thing we should note is that Dan's about to teach in 2 minutes. That means anyone who's taking CEs needs to sign in. Even though you're in the room, I need you to sign in outside. You're also signing out to get those credits at 4:30, not before. 4:30, and we'll be back in that lobby. Q&A is going to happen. You will need a mic. You will raise your hand. The teacher will call you. A mic runner will come to you. Don't start speaking until you have one of these. That way everyone who's on hearing assist can hear you. Please do bring food. Please do bring water. Make yourself comfortable. And if you spill, grab one of the volunteers and they'll help you with that. Lunch today, you can have lunch in this room. It's a silent room when you eat here. You can eat in the lobby. You can eat on the patio. The meadow is gorgeous. You can go to Woodacre Deli. You can do a whole lot of things. The only thing we're going to ask you not to do, and it's going to be hard, is not to go past the wooden gates or the prayer wheel. They are on their second to last day of a 7-day silent retreat, and it's juicy, and you want to go there, and you want to go feel it, and you've been there before, and you feel like you should be able to go there. Don't. Don't. They love you, they send you metta, and they say, sign up for your own retreat at another time. It'll be good. The bookstore is going to be open for 15 minutes approximately after the class is over. By 5 o'clock, I'll be inviting you to leave the building. Dan has an email list as well as books for sale, so if you're digging what he's doing, please sign up for his email list because we don't necessarily promote what he does outside of Spirit Rock, so please sign up for that. Have I forgotten anything? No, there's a bell for those of you who are new. By the end of the day, it's going to be very Pavlovian for you. It's 3 bells, means you need to come back in. And so wherever you are, you'll be able to hear the bell because there's a big bell that we ring as well. So just pay attention. You're the only folks in the building today. There's a second floor that you're welcome to go and spend some quiet time if that's what you need. Please feel free to be in any room that doesn't have a reserve sign on it.
And one other thing, has everybody gotten a handout? If you haven't gotten a handout, you can get one outside. That'll be helpful to have, just to look through.
And can I have a volunteer send some of those? Okay, we got you. Jim is the best. All right. Gracias, Dan.
Thank you, Christina. Okay, everybody's getting their equipment. So that was a simple introduction to mindfulness meditation, using the breath and using listening to sound as a beginning orientation. Before we start to move into looking at Feldenkrais and doing some of that, any questions on the meditation or comments, anything that you wish to ask about? Seem clear for you? Good? Okay. Okay. So maybe we can pass those around. So keep your hands up. If you find you tend to get cold, there are blankets here too, so you can always use those. You will be lying down at some point, so if you need to be covered, that's fine. Okay. Still getting equipment. This can all be part of the meditative environment. Hearing the sounds. Breathing the breath. Great. You don't have to worry, you don't have to have the handout right now. If you don't have one, you can always get one outside during the break, which will take in about 45 minutes to an hour. Okay. Okay, so we'll do a little Feldenkrais types of movements. I want to give you a little background on Feldenkrais. I became involved with it partly as part of my path of studying the body. I initially had become involved with, very intrigued with the body through martial arts, having studied that for many years, and massage and different kinds of body work. But this, after I had a bad back injury, I used this method a lot as part of my healing, and I became totally entranced with the potential that it had. And to give you a little background, that was developed by an Israeli physicist named Moshe Feldenkrais back in the 40s and 50s. And he was a avid soccer player and martial artist. He's one of the people who introduced judo to the West. He had a knee injury that he wanted to heal, but his doctors said, well, 50% chance if we operate it'll get better or it'll get worse, something like that. And he thought he'd play around with his body and find ways perhaps to heal it. And in that process, along with all of his martial arts experience, his knowledge as a physicist, he started to develop a method for tapping into the body's capacity to reorganize itself and to move in more efficient, graceful, and sometimes healing ways. Now we know from the perspective of brain science that what he was exploring was neuroplasticity. Anyone heard of that word? Neuroplasticity has to do with the tremendous capacity that the brain has to change itself and to change the whole body-mind. He discovered a way to tap into this principle through using movement. There's a wonderful book about neuroplasticity, a couple of books by a Canadian doctor. It's on your handout, the information, Norman Deutsch. His second book, called The Brain's Way of Healing, has a chapter on Feldenkrais and relates the methodology to what's happening in neuroscience and neuroplasticity. And it's a revolutionary principle that's being applied in a lot of ways to medicine, for example, with Parkinson's. It's also been found to be really useful. But there's a lot of ways this has been used and will be continued to be developed. So it's sort of a cutting-edge thing. Feldenkrais didn't have that terminology at that time or that paradigm. So his books don't couch it in that. However, he was very aware that it's a form of learning. It's a form of direct, almost non-cognitive somatic learning. But it is a form of learning. And that's the way I like to think of it, too. It's a form of learning about how you do what you're doing. How you organize yourself for perception and action. That's really the fundamental aspect. So this is not really a form of exercise. You can apply it to exercise, but it's quite different than exercise in terms of doing it. So you'll hear me constantly remind you about that in different ways. So the method has two vehicles. One of them is called awareness through movement, which is what we'll be doing today, using small, simple, sometimes very non-stereotypic types of movement patterns to tap into the neuroplasticity, the brain's way of finding new options and rewiring the body-mind to do things differently, changing habits. The other method is called functional integration, which is a more personal approach where a practitioner works with you through hands-on, fully clothed. It's not massage. But the principles tremendously overlap. What we'll do today overlaps into functional integration as well. They're really using the same methodology. One is more specific and personalized. So there are a couple of reminders as we do what we do today that they're on that handout. The first one is really take care of yourself. The focus is on you being comfortable and developing greater and greater sense of ease and comfort and lightness in the body. You'll probably find by the end of the day, this will be a feel-good day. We're going to do a lot of different movement lessons that are designed to create much greater ease and comfort, and that'll probably happen. However, the key to doing this well, it's just the opposite of exercise. Less will be more. You know, you hear the exercise mantra is push through the pain. It's the exact opposite. If you feel pain when you're doing this, do less than you're doing. Pain is a signal that you're doing too much. So if that means that you do a movement and it's barely even visible to somebody who would be out looking at you, but you feel something internally, fine, that's a good size, right? So you'll hear me give you that direction. It's very important. You will get far more out of this method if you do less as a principle. And the other thing is, always take care of yourself. If you're doing something or I'm giving directions and you feel like resting or stopping, fine, rest and stop. Follow your own inner guidance. This method, what we do today, is going to direct you towards listening, just as we did with the opening meditation, to your own inner guidance, the signals that you get about how things could be for you. So always rest. Feel free. Sleep if you wish. That's fine too. You may find doing these lessons is so relaxing, you just feel like taking a little nap for 10 or 15 minutes. That's fine. If you snore loudly, someone near you can maybe jostle you. But otherwise, take care of yourself. Rest if you need to. Move slowly. Feel the whole movement. Go for doing things with less effort. Less effort is going to produce more results. It's amazing how that happens with this method. And be attuned to what percolates up for you. Notice when you do a movement, how did it affect you? We're so busy in this life, in this society, that we hardly take time to stop and notice how what we're doing is affecting us. But it's important to notice that. That's part of the meditative attitude, I think, and the learning. Okay, that's an orientation. Let's begin. So just to begin in a really simple way, everybody come to standing. And I'm not going to demonstrate a lot of the things that we do because the way I do these movements has to do with my own body, my organization. It's different than yours. You have a unique structure. So part of it is to really attune to your own unique structure. That's where the learning will take place. I'll show things occasionally, but most of the time, it's not really that valuable. So begin by letting your arms hang at your sides and just simply feeling how your weight comes through your feet into the floor. And just to notice the kind of contact that you have. And perhaps you notice that the weight comes through on the insides of your feet or the outsides of your feet or the front of your feet or the back of your feet. Or maybe it's hard to even know how it's coming through. You just feel the contact. It's fine. Whatever you notice is fine. And then do a little movement of just simply shifting your weight to the right leg and coming back to the center and just doing that a couple of times. And notice what it's like to give your weight to the right leg and come back. And then give your weight over to the left leg and come back to the center. And do that a couple of times, left leg. And then go back and forth between the right leg and the left leg. And if you're doing this with your eyes closed, that's okay, but also do it with your eyes open because your eyes tremendously affect how you organize yourself in gravity. And we'll be playing with that throughout the day. And just notice, is there a difference between the way you give your weight to one leg or the other? Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. It could be a physical difference, a sense of ease. It could be a subjective feeling of maybe greater security or trust into one side or the other. Whatever you find is fine. And then gradually reduce the weight shifting slowly until you come to the very center of the movement where it would be easy to weight shift to either the left or the right. And we'll call that finding your neutral ground. Right in the middle of things. And just from doing that little weight shifting, notice your contact with the floor again. Maybe it's changed, maybe it hasn't. That's good. So that's what we call a basic reference movement. We're going to come back to that frequently throughout the day and notice how the lessons we do affect your sense of contact with the earth. They usually do. Okay, now we'll begin with a simple theme that we'll carry over into other lessons throughout the day, and that is rotation. And if any of you have been here before, I'd like to begin with this lesson because it makes the method so obvious. each time you do a lesson, you can get something out of it. Even if you've done it 100 times, it doesn't matter. So begin by turning and looking to your left. Let your arms hang at your sides and just turn and look to your left and only go as far as feels comfortable and come back to the center. And do that a couple of times without straining in any way. In other words, you don't need to try to force yourself to go further than you go, just to where it feels like it's relatively easy to do and you reach a relative stopping point and pick a spot on the wall that can serve as a marker for you to show you how far you've gone. And then come back. So find your marker and come back to the left. Now, typically with a Feldenkrais lesson, what we do is we add a variety of movements that start to become enriching for the whole sensory motor system of the body. So now we're going to add a very non-stereotypic movement, which is as you turn to the left, you're going to let your eyes stay looking in front of you. So you're going to look in front of you, and as you turn your whole body to the left, your eyes still stay looking to the center and come back. And don't hold your breath when you do this. Reattune to your breathing, and it can be even a little easier if you let your jaw relax and remember it's not a serious activity. You can even smile a little as you do this and see if that affects the movement. Right? So it's not turn to the left and then look to the center. It's keep your eyes focused to the center and let everything else go to the left. Right? And keep breathing. And you'll feel a strange contrast within yourself. We don't typically do this. The reason I'm bringing the eyes in right away is the eye movements can often change patterns that we have very easily when you use them non-habitually. Okay, so everybody got that?
Are we keeping our head straight?
Nope, head moves as well. Just the eyes stay focused in front of you. So head moves. So if you're keeping your head facing forward as the body goes, you don't need to. Of course, you could do that, but you want to let your head go and just keep your eyes looking ahead. Okay, that's good. Now let that go. And you'll often hear me say throughout these lessons, okay, just take time to absorb that. Right, come back to your breathing. And just from this little simple movement, now, when you turn to the left, actually use your eyes to look into the direction of your turning and then come back. So as you launch, look into the direction of your turning with your eyes and notice how that affects your rotation. Any changes? Right? Did you go past your marker? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. So that's pretty amazing if you did. Don't worry if you didn't. You probably will eventually. But it doesn't matter really. Okay, so that was a neuroplasticity effect. You did something different. Your brain picked up on a change in the motor habit and reintroduced it to add some resources. Let's add another resource. This time, put your arms out in front of you. And as your whole body goes to the left, let your arms go to the right and come back. So remember, you don't keep your arms straight. Also, don't bend your elbows. So that's trickier. So some of you are bending your elbows, but actually start out and come back to the center. So actually keep your arms and elbows straight and do it. So you may not turn as far, but you'll feel a contrast somewhere within yourself as the two parts of yourself go in different directions. Right? So don't bend the elbows. Do it a couple of times and breathe. And let your face, jaw, eyes relax. And feel the contrast within yourself. Where do you feel the contrast? Okay, put your arms down. Just absorb that. And now, with your eyes leading, turn and look to the left and come back again. And just notice what you're turning like now. Has there been a change yet again? Maybe there has, maybe there hasn't been. You know, you don't have to be competitive with it either. got to get that change. It's really about what do you notice occurring that's a little bit different. That's what we're focusing on. Okay? Let's add another variation. This time, take hold of yourself. Cross your arms. Now your arms make contact with your ribs. And this time, turn your body to the left, but let your head look to the right and come back. And you'll feel yet another contrast. Then come back to the center. Let your jaw relax. And notice where you feel the contrast.
What do you mean by contrast?
Some part of you is going one way by contrast, and another part of you is going a different way. When those two parts meet up internally, there's a sense of some contrast occurring. One direction one way, one direction the other way. Okay, and let it go. Absorb that for a moment. And now, when you're ready to turn, have a sense of your own preparation for doing a turn. So there's a way in which we all mobilize ourselves for action. You'll have the sense of getting ready, I'm getting ready, I'm getting ready. Oh, there I go, and I'm turning. So you're getting on board your actual activity to turn. So let yourself do that. Have a sense of, getting ready, getting ready. Even if you don't, allow yourself to not even know how to do this. You often see this with athletes, batters, when they're at bat. They're just doing all these things. They're getting ready. So we're just getting ready to turn. And when you're ready, do your turn, but let your head, eyes, torso, everything just go into the turn together and come back. And what's that rotation like now? Any improvements? Notice where the improvements are. You may not even look further, but it may feel integrated in a different way. Right? So that's an interesting thing to notice. A couple times, and notice where your new marker is. Okay. All right. And now, when you come back, tune into your contact with the floor. And just notice, has anything changed in your contact? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. And take a seat. And just simply absorb the effects of doing that. Those are very simple movements as a way to illustrate a basic theme. We do rotation and turning every day throughout the day. Without doing a lot of vigorous stretching. How many people got at least a 5% improvement? 10%? It's a big number of people. So that's the beauty of the method, is that you can simply, by using attention, by using different movement patterns, you can enrich your own repertoire for how you act. And you can often make improvements within minutes, effortlessly. Questions on that? Anybody have a question before we? Yes, Mike, who's here for the mic. And then we'll move on with this, too. We can take some questions if need be.
I was just curious what you meant by improvements. What does that mean?
Well, improvements could be in terms of the range of motion. It could be in terms of your own comfort while rotating, the ease. It could be in terms of the sense of integration throughout yourself, that you're using more of yourself. It could be that you subjectively feel it's more fun to do. It's easier. It's lighter. It creates a different mood. There's the physical and subjective side of improving.
My body wants to do the other side.
I bet it does. So we'll do the other side. Sure. The interesting thing about the method, though, the really interesting thing is often when you do one side, not only does the other side want to do it, but when you actually get to doing the other side, it's already picked up on the improvements and starts to integrate the new strategies. Because our system just transfers across. You'll find that throughout the day. So we'll do the other side, but before we do the other side, let's bring another principle in. In your imagination, which is something that a lot of athletes do, just imagine giving the other side some of the benefits and allow yourself to not even know how to do that. In fact, you'll hear me say that throughout the day. Allow yourself to not know how to do something. Why? Because it's a way to unwind a habit, right? Our habits tell us how to do something all the time because we've done that so many times. But when you try something new, you'll often encounter, that's odd, I don't know how to do this. That's a beautiful moment. That means some new learning is taking place. So allow yourself to transfer whatever you learned. The way I like to do it is I say, transfer. You know, presto, change-o, take it in. Right? But you could visualize it. You could visualize the turning. Right? Some people feel it sensation-wise, the sense of ease in certain parts of themselves. Everybody has their own way of doing this. So just do the transfer. Allow yourself to do it however. Or if you don't know how to do it, pretend you're doing it. And then come to your feet. Stand. Feel your contact with the floor. And then, without forcing anything at all, letting your arms hang at your sides. The reason I say that is because it frees up your shoulders and ribs to do that. Turn and look to the right a couple of times. Again, without trying to force anything, notice which parts of yourself you're using. Come back to the center. Make it a fluid movement. So you're just turning and to the right. You might even notice you're using some of the strategies you learned on the left. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, come back to the center and let's add a contrast. Did everybody pick a marker? If you didn't, turn to the right, pick a marker on the wall. Let that be a reference point. The reason we use these reference points is to notice what the lessons have done to our own perception and learning. So we have a reference point. Okay, now let's add a contrast. This time, keep your head and eyes looking forward and let the rest of your body, torso, turn to the right. So, yes, and come back. Again, it's not it's a light, fun exercise. Smile a little while you're doing it. Smiling has a big impact on your subjective experience. Yeah, and don't stay static. Come back. I mean, it's kind of fun doing something odd and different. Now, notice if you can keep your head. Sometimes when people do this, they start to turn their head slightly. So see if you can keep your head vertical. So if you do less, great, it doesn't matter. Do less. But stay with the head and eyes looking vertically ahead. Let your jaw relax. Breathe. Good. Just a couple times. Feel the contrast within yourself. Good. Come back to the center. Let it go. Simply absorb the effects of that throughout yourself. Tune into your breathing. And then again, when you're ready, that sense of inner preparation, when you're ready, turn and look with your eyes into the movement to the right and notice how that affects your rotation and come back. If you have a change, it doesn't necessarily even have to be with looking further. It could be internally something feels different. You might notice that. Nice. Come back to the center. Let's add one more variation, another variation. Take hold of the opposite elbows. Keep your arms out in front of you now. So we're adding yet another movement pattern. And now as your arms go to the left, let everything else go to the right. But again, it doesn't have to be big. And see if you can do it with a relaxed jaw. And breathe. And a couple times. And have the sense that they're both splitting in different directions and coming back at the same time. So be precise with it in a way. Don't sort of just jerk one side over one way and the other over. Split at the same time and come back at the same time. Slowly. And breathe. So it's pretty clear that one part of you is going one way, the other part's going a different way, other parts. Right? And don't strain. Make it even easier. Do less than you can do. One more time. Do about 50% less than you could do. 50% less. So you're just beginning a little bit so it's nice and smooth internally. And come back. Right. That's a good range to work in. Less than you can do allows you to do it without struggle. Smoothness. Okay. Put your arms down. Absorb the effect. And then when you're ready internally, let your eyes and head and torso track into the movement together of looking and turning to the right and coming back. So you have the sense of letting everything coordinate with each other. And notice, how does that affect your turning and looking? Let your jaw relax. Maybe do it once or twice with a smile. And notice if smiling actually affects the way you do the movement. I remember once when I was many, many years ago learning to meditate, I was on a retreat with Joseph Goldstein. And I remember him saying, as he was watching, he'd watched everybody walking around, walking meditation. He said, just a reminder that mindfulness is not grimness. It's just mindfulness. Okay, everybody got a sense of it? And now, let's add one more variation. And this is to combine both sides. But we'll do it with a variation. So put your arms out. Keep your elbows straight throughout. And let your body turn to the right. Your arms go to the left. Cross through the center. And then let your body and head turn to the left, arms go to the right. So you're going across the whole span. And just start to feel where the contrast is within yourself. Again, do less than you could do. Do less. Don't go to the end of the movement. Stay within a middle range. So if you're kind of trying to force your head to look, let it go. Do less. Do at least 25% less than you could do to feel the contrast. And breathe. Good. And come back, let it go for a moment. Just have the inner sense of absorbing. Preparation. And then when you're ready, just turn and look to the left. Feel how far you rotate. Come through yourself, turn and look to the right. Feel how far you can rotate. But don't force it, just naturally going. Breathe, even smile. Look with your eyes. And notice, from the time we started this lesson to now, has there been a change in the way that you turn and also the range of motion? Maybe there has, maybe there hasn't. You're just experimentally checking it out. Got a sense of it? Notice if there are parts of yourself you've now brought into the rotation that you didn't earlier on. See what they might be, where they are. Great. And come back to the contact that you have with the floor. Notice if that's changed. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. And then a little weight shifting to the left and a little weight shifting to the right. Notice the quality of your weight shifting. And notice, has there been any subjective change in the way you give your weight to the left leg or to the right leg? And come back to the very center, to the neutral point. And have a seat. And let's take a minute to just simply absorb the effects of this. Often when you do these lessons, there is quite a lot that goes on somatically throughout your whole body, it doesn't seem like you're doing a lot, but internally you are doing a lot. And as we go through the day and do more of these lessons, you'll probably notice a lot of things start to move around and shift. You might feel a sense of great tiredness come on in a wave. It's fine. It all is about changes that are initiated. So just tuning in, noticing what's there for you now. In the same way that we began with the sense of listening, that open sense of listening, now you can apply that sense of open listening to the whole body-mind. Simply sensing the presence of the body-mind, however it appears to you. Just absorbing the effects of the movements. If you want any time, you can always come back to the breath as an anchor, as a way to focus mindfulness. And it's interesting to simply note where attention seems to be drawn. Just effortlessly listening to the presence of the whole body mind. When you hear the bell ring, notice how the sound itself affects the body mind. Okay, so we're going to move into a lesson now that involves lying on the floor. Before we do that, any questions, observations, things you want to share before we dip into that? Okay, raise your hand and a mic will come over with a person.
I just want to say, you know, you were talking about the jaw and other places. I really saw when you said to go 25%, how my shoulders, that was where I really, and, you know, just sitting with people all day like that, you know, just to see yourself, your shoulders go down about 4 feet or something. It's pretty wonderful.
You noticed that happened when you did less, that the shoulders started to drop. Yes, that's wonderful, yeah.
I noticed a lot of looseness and more mobility in my rib cage and in my back through that exercise. However, I missed your welcome introduction, so I'm not sure if you address, like, if you're going to address specific issues, like, because I have scoliosis and severe spinal stenosis that's pressing on my sciatic nerve. So I have this constant tingling in my left leg. So when you're saying, you know, be aware and notice, that kind of grabs my attention, but I also notice other shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. So the lessons we'll do today will be generally pretty helpful for creating mobility in the spine. So that probably will be useful. Your attention will be drawn to areas that are signaling you loudly. That's normal. But other areas may signal you too. Sometimes, especially when we have pain or injuries, our attention becomes habituated to focusing on the pain. Of course, it's getting our attention. But it's very interesting sometimes, and you'll hear this throughout the lessons today, to also bring, especially when you have pain, to bring your attention to regions of yourself where there is a sense of at least neutrality or even well-being, because those sometimes get overlooked and they can become a resource for the areas that have more pain. So we'll play with that. I'm glad you brought it up. We'll play with that today.
Can you elaborate on the concept of the body-mind and how we should kind of curl our curiosity?
Yeah, what it is, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I use that phrase, very Californian. Just because to me there's no difference anymore. That the body and the mind are unity. And the idea that they're separate in some way is, I think, a myth that we've been working with for a long time in our culture and society. So I just want to be inclusive. I don't even want to separate them. It's a body-mind. It's a total unity. What we do in our bodies affects our perception, our thinking. What we do in our thinking, perceiving, affects our bodies. This method will make that really clear. You change a habit in the body. People often do this, Feldenkrais work, and they suddenly notice that they're thinking differently too about things. Maybe they're not trying to effort their thinking in the same way either. So it's a powerful transfer. That answer? Good. Okay. Yeah, one more.
You spoke a minute ago about pain and pain getting your attention.
Yeah.
Do you have things to say about when you've been trying to avoid pain, or you've spent a lot of time ignoring that, and how to sort of reintegrate today that would be helpful?
Well, I think pain is very important to pay attention to, because it's a way of, you know, the body mind is signaling attention to notice something, and it has a, you know, it's like when you touch something that's hot and you get pain, it's like that's a good reminder to not do that again. So it has a messaging component. If you've been avoiding it,
or dismissing it,
it's sometimes interesting from a meditative point of view. It's interesting to just simply open up to what it is. I mean, one of the things that happens, I find, is for many of us, myself included, is that it's very easy to start to form some sort of image or concept of the pain, my pain. You know, and then I start to lose the clarity of noticing, well, what actually is that made of? It's made of changing sensations that are constantly moving or vibrating or going off in this direction and fading into nothingness, or it's not really a mass, it's got space in it. So I think the whole idea of moving past the concept of pain into the pure awareness investigation of pain is very, very useful. You don't have to do anything to try to change it even, just to become more aware of what is the nature of it and open up to that, because that can be very liberating. Okay? Ready for the next part? Anytime you need to get up, use the bathroom, that's good. This will be doing something for the next half an hour, 35 minutes. Do you need a little break now, or... good. Okay, if you need a break. Before you take your bathroom break, let me just show you one thing, and then we'll... Sorry, I see people leaving, so you'll get there in a minute. So I'm going to ask you to lie down and get up throughout the day, and there's a very specific way to do this that's going to preserve the effects of the lessons. So I just want to go over it. So make sure, if you want, you can stand up to look at me, or if you don't need to, in the front. But I'll demo it up here. So when you're... I'll do it on both sides. You can see me on both sides, too. So normally when you get down... it's easy to strain your neck and back. And here's one way people do that is they get down like this. And rather than go on their sides, they just go right straight back. And you can feel your neck and your spine, everything just grabbing to stabilize you. So that often puts a lot of stress into the back. So what you want to do is you want to go down on your side comfortably and roll over, which takes very little effort. And then when I come up, I roll onto my side, I let my head and neck hang, and I slowly take myself up. Do you see the difference? So I'm going to advise everybody to do that today. That one move really is helpful over time. And then when you're getting up and down, take your time. I mean, if these lessons will be profoundly reorienting. So if you get up and you go, wait a minute, I just got to sit here for a minute and take stock of seeing things differently, fine. And if you want to get up and you want to use a surface to help you, get oriented. Oh, is that it? Is this it? Check it out. That feels good. Yep, that's nope. Oh, there it is. Okay. Right? Take your time so that you're orienting yourself step by step along the way, because these lessons will give you new options and you want to use them to create greater ease. Make sense? Okay, so we'll everybody get on the floor in the back. Make sure if you need a pillow for your head or something under your legs or a blanket on top of you, you do that, and just find a comfortable way to get down. If you need to have your knees up and feet flat, that's okay. If you like lying with your legs outstretched, great. If you need something under your head, fine. Really find a position that feels comfortable. Notice whether you went down going straight back or rolling to a side. And in the same way that we paid attention to the contact of the feet with the floor, now pay attention to the contact of your whole body with the floor. Notice where your attention is naturally drawn to. Just simply resting, where does your attention go? Not trying to fix anything, not changing anything, just noticing. And become aware of the contact of your feet with the floor, your legs with the floor. Notice the contact of your pelvis. Notice the contact of your ribs, of your spine. Notice the contact of your shoulders, your arms and hands. Notice the contact of the entire body. As a way to illustrate this, if you were dipped into a bottle of ink and you were lying on a white page of paper, where would there be ink impressions and where would there be white spaces? That could be called your unique pressure signature with the surface that you're on. And notice the left side of your body and the right side of your body. Do they have a different contact? Is one side perhaps closer to the floor than the other side? Maybe, maybe not. You're just checking it out. Maybe one side of your pelvis or your shoulders or your ribs might be closer. You're not trying to fix it, just being aware of how it is. Just simply being aware of your contact. And become aware of your breathing, the natural rhythm of your breath. Your inhalation and exhalation. Just resting with that. You can notice the rhythm of your breathing, particularly when you finish exhaling, there's a slight pause, and then inhalation happens automatically. And notice that rhythm. And notice which parts of yourself are affected by the inhalation and the exhalation. And notice if any region of yourself, any aspect of your body-mind is signaling you in some way. Maybe that's so, maybe not. Just getting your attention in some way. And then bring your knees up so your feet are flat on the floor. And find a comfortable position for your legs and feet so it's easy to keep your legs up. And do a light, small movement of taking your legs a little over to the left and back to the center. Slowly, slowly, so you feel each part of the movement. Do less than you can do. You know, it's not a stretch. It's just taking them over a bit. Sometimes people flop them all the way over to the very end of the movement and try to get a nice kind of rotation in their spine. You can do that when you're exercising. That's not what this is. So it should be easy to reverse directions. Take the legs over to the left. Come back again slowly. Find a range where it's easy and light to do the movement, just to the left right now. And see if you can harmonize this with your natural breathing so you're not holding your breath and you're not clenching your jaw. In fact, you could even let your jaw hang open a little. And notice how taking your legs over to the left changes the pressure contact of your pelvis and other parts of yourself with the floor, naturally. Notice how taking your legs over to the left and back also affects your spine. But don't go to the very end of the movement. Stay within the movement where it's light and smooth so you're not pushing against a limit. That happens when you go to the end of the movement. Then you give your body-mind a sense that it's limited. Okay, come back to the center and pause for a moment. And then slowly take your legs over to the right and come back. And again, don't go to the very end of the movement. Stay within an easy, light, reversible range. And notice how taking your legs over to the right and coming back also changes the pressure contact of your pelvis and other parts of yourself with the floor. Slowly over to the right, reversing. See if you can make it very smooth and use less effort. Go for less effort. What would that mean? So it's just the right amount of effort to take them over to the right and come back. So you're not tensing up or gripping other parts of yourself. You feel every part of the movement. And come back to the center. Pause for a moment. And then when you feel ready, take your legs a little over to the left and the right. Combine the two directions. Slowly, slowly. And notice how the pressure contact in your pelvis changes with each direction. The pressure contact of your feet with the floor changes. How the pressure contact in your ribs changes, and how your spine gets involved with the movement in both directions of your legs. Just to notice how you're affecting other parts of yourself through the use of your legs, simply doing a movement of going back and forth, that simple turning movement that we did earlier. Slowly, though, slowly. Don't rush through it. Because you're not really going anywhere. You can pause and rest whenever you want. And when you're ready, let it go and take a full rest. You can stretch out if you want. You can keep your knees up, feet flat. Whatever works for you. If you want to lie on your side, you can always do that too. And notice where your attention is naturally drawn. Which regions of yourself? Where does your attention naturally go to? And just absorb the effects of these simple movements. And let everything just sink and relax and be supported by the floor. With each exhalation, let everything just sink and drop. Resting is a very important part of the lessons because it allows the whole body-mind to integrate the effects of what you're doing. And just rest with the breath. And then take your right hand, palm of your right hand, put it on your forehead, the palm of your right hand on your forehead, and relax your right shoulder so it feels comfortable. Find a good position. And without using your head, let your right hand slowly roll your head a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. Slowly. Slowly. So the idea here is you're not using any effort in your neck. You're just letting the right arm and hand very lightly and slowly move your head. You don't need to go to the end of the movement at all. Stay in a light middle range. And breathe. Let your jaw relax. Let your eyes relax. Let your face relax. And feel how rolling your head affects your spine. Maybe just the cervical spine, maybe it goes deeper. Make the rolling light and smooth and easy. If you find a bumpy spot, you can smooth it out a little bit by rolling through it. And when you're ready, you can take your right hand off and put your left hand on. Do the same thing. Notice if rolling with your left hand has a different effect in your head and neck rolling than your right. You can always compare the two. Slowly. Less than you need to do. You could do. Let your jaw relax, even hang open a little. Let your eyes just simply melt. Just rolling your head. And then take your hand away, and just pause for a moment. And when you're ready, very lightly, very small movement, just roll your head a little to the left, a little to the right, slowly, 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 so you feel each part of the movement. Let your jaw relax. And notice what it's like to roll your head after having let it be rolled passively. How far down in your spine do you feel the effects of rolling your head? How does your head affect other parts of you? Maybe a little, maybe not at all. You're just checking it out. And reduce the rolling slowly till you're in the center, and then let it go. And just feel the effects of the head rolling. Now bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. Find a comfortable position for your legs. Once again, knees up, feet flat on the floor. And now, as you take your legs slowly to the left and the right, notice how the movement of your legs to the left and the right affects not only your spine, but also your head and neck, slowly. So you're not doing a movement to try to stretch. If you're going all the way to the edge of the movement, you're doing too much. Stay within the easy, reversible range. Don't try to stretch. You can do that later, but not now. And notice how the movement of your legs and pelvis affects your spine and your head. And notice if your head wants to roll in either the same direction as your legs or in an opposite direction, and experiment. Let your head coordinate its rolling with the legs either going with or going in the opposite direction. Find which one feels easier and maybe more fun or lighter for you. So you need to experiment, try both. Do you like that sense of being unified and rolling in one way, with the head and the legs and the pelvis going together, or do you like to have some differentiation in your upper body? And find a way to coordinate the movement so that the head and legs, whichever way they're going, either with or against, coordinate. So they both cross the middle at the same time when you come back through the middle. Let your jaw relax. Let your eyes relax. Harmonize the movements with your natural breathing. If you're holding your breath, stop. Come back to your breathing. Let your breathing and the movements support each other. You can stop and pause and rest anytime you want. And notice how the changing pressure contact of your body with the floor is affecting you. Notice how your spine becomes involved. Good. And come back to the center. Pause for a moment. Just sense the effects you've had and take a full rest. Let everything go, relax. Once again, just sense where your attention is naturally drawn to. Feel the presence of the whole body-mind at rest. With each exhalation, allow yourself to simply sink, relax, and be supported by the ground. Sometimes when you're doing movements, there's a sense of certain sensations echoing and re-echoing through the whole body. Or new awarenesses that emerge. Or a sense of space or ease or presence within yourself that starts to open up. And then lightly, just to test it once again with the palm of either hand, roll your head a little to the left and the right, and notice how far down your spine you feel the effects of this movement now. Just a little bit. You can use each hand if you want. Slowly, let your jaw relax. Breathe. Just feeling how you affect your torso, your spine, your head, your neck. Let it go, just to test. Let that go. Bring your knees up, feet flat. One more variation. Take hold of your... Actually, bring your two palms together above your chest, so your fingers are pressing to each other, and point it up towards the ceiling, elbow straight, but relax your shoulders and arms, and relax your jaw. So your arms are extended almost like a church steeple. Yep, but you relax your shoulders. So hands come up towards the ceiling, elbows are straight, and keep your elbows straight, but relax your shoulders. And now, take your head and legs a little over to the left, but bring your steeple of your arms over to the right a little bit. If you want. So then come back to the center and keep your palms together so you're not bending your elbows. Obviously, there'll be a constraint, so you need to do less. And then do that a couple times, taking your head and legs to the left, arms to the right, come back, feel the contrast internally, slowly. And when you're ready, come back to the center and reverse directions. Take your legs and head over to the right, arms to the left. And you can now go back and forth slowly, but there's a constraint here, which is the palms stay together and the elbows stay straight. So naturally, that's going to constrain your torso a little bit. So do less than you can do. Do half of what you could do, 50%. And breathe. Let your jaw relax. You can even smile as you do it. Try smiling a little bit as you do it. See how that affects the movement. Keep your elbows straight. And if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Okay, now take hold of each opposite elbow so you form a little box. And now the same thing. Head and legs go to the right, box elbows go to the left. Feel how this affects your torso and your ribs. Remember, don't try to stretch. Do less than you can do. It's really important to do less. And to do it slowly. Right? Slowly, coordinated. So the box is perpendicular to your chest. It's right over your chest, not lying on your chest. Good. And then put your arms down. And once or twice, Resume once again that sense of taking your legs over to the left and to the right, and let your head be affected slowly as you do this movement. Let your legs and head coordinate with each other. So as the legs move, the head moves in relationship. It could either go in the same direction or the opposite direction. You can try both, see which works for you, and do less than you can do. Focus more on the internal sense of the different parts of yourself getting involved in the movement in a harmonious way. Go for the harmony, not the size of the movement. The internal sense of harmony that you feel between the legs, the pelvis, the spine, the ribs, the head, the neck. Find that and let that be your guide for doing the movement. The internal sense of the different parts of yourself cooperating and mutually affecting each other in a harmonious way. The movement you do may be so small that somebody looking from the outside barely sees anything, but internally you feel it. Nice. When you have a sense of that, stretch out, take a full rest. And once again, notice how your attention is affecting you. Where is your attention naturally drawn? Are there regions of yourself where you feel changes, a sense of awareness, aliveness, distinctions? Attune to your natural breathing. And if you were dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted on the page, what would your ink blot look like now? Where would there be dark ink impressions? Where would there be light spaces? And has that changed from the start of the lesson? And notice, are there any regions of yourself that are signaling you now, getting your attention in some way? Perhaps with neutral or pleasant sensations, as well as unpleasant ones. Open to the full range. And then slowly, you can bring your knees up or feet flat or whatever it is you want. Roll over slowly, slowly, slowly to a side. You can bring your legs up over your chest. Take hold of them if you want and give your back a little massage. Roll around. Do what you need to do to give yourself a little massage in your spine, perhaps. And then really taking your time, really slowly, slowly make your way up to standing. But take your time. Move in a way where you sense how the different parts of yourself can mutually affect each other and support you. Pause if you want somewhere. Sit somewhere. So take your time coming up. Luxuriate in it. And slowly you're going to make your way to standing, but really do it in a way that feels light, easy. You're following your natural rhythm. Yeah, take your time. When you do come to standing, let your arms hang at your sides. Taking your time coming up. Let your arms hang at your sides. And once again, just sense the contact of your weight coming through you into your feet, making contact with the floor. And notice, from the time we first did this earlier at the start of the day, has anything changed in the contact that you have with the floor through your feet? And if it has, how so? Are certain parts of you more in contact, or is there a sense of more weight coming through you? A sense of perhaps groundedness? Be sure to let your arms hang at your sides, because when you hold them together, you're constraining your ribs and shoulders. And then slowly weight shift a little to the left and a little to the right, and notice if the lesson has affected your weight shifting. Maybe yes, maybe no, subjectively, physically. A change in the sense of stability or ease in giving your weight to one side or the other, and then reduce the movements slowly till you come to the center. And then when you're ready, again, following your own timing, let yourself slowly turn and look to the left and notice how far you turn, go through the center, turn and look to the right. And not only how far you turn, but also the sense of ease and participation of different regions of yourself in the turn. Is there a different quality to the turning now? Maybe yes, maybe no. You're checking out, are parts of you involved in the rotation that weren't involved before at the start of the day? Suppose you look with your eyes into the direction of the turn. Or suppose you let all the different parts of yourself harmoniously move together, as you did when you were lying down. Great. And have a seat. We'll just briefly, maybe what we'll do is we'll take a little brief bathroom break and then we'll come and check in after this. So we'll take about 5-10 minutes, we'll ring the bell for the bathroom break being over, and we'll come back and meet and compare what we discovered. Welcome back. So we'll just do a little bit of a check-in with this before going into another meditation, just to see how you were affected, if you have any questions, things that you noticed. We have the mics. Please signal for a mic if you have something you want to say or ask. Yep, over here.
It's kind of an unexpected reaction to this work this morning. I'm not someone who cries very easily, and yet most of the morning, as especially when my eyes have been closed, I've just been kind of, tears have just been running down my face.
Yeah, yeah, that can happen. And how was it for you? Is that... It's interesting to notice your, is a sense of surprise, you mean, for that?
Yeah, and then it's a sort of kind of a release that I wasn't expecting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lessons can evoke many, many responses in the range of not just the physical shifting that goes on, but also, you know, it's the body-mind. The whole subjective side of things, the sense of emotions that percolate up. And there are certain lessons that, I mean, I've done hundreds and hundreds of these over the years, that have an extremely profound effect sometimes and will evoke a very strong emotional response. Sometimes that can be very pleasant, and sometimes you might find you're doing a lesson, this has happened to me, where some lessons I've done and I just automatically start really disliking the lesson. It's like I'm on all fours, I'm doing a lesson that maybe involves just looking to the side and thinking, this is horrible. And through the whole lesson, there's a kind of little inner chatter that's saying, this is so dumb, why are you doing this? This is ridiculous. All I'm doing is looking to the left and the right while sometimes lifting a hand. It's you know, you'll find a whole narrative sometimes springs up about this. It's just part of the show. So, you know, you just are with it. You're mindful. You notice the flow of experience. There could be something that's very powerful that is a signal or a message that's very useful. Or it could be background noise that's just simply releasing along with something else. So, you know, it's that's why I say it's the full range of experience. We just open up to it and take it in and be with it. Yes, when are we over here and then over here? Mike is coming.
For me, it was unexpected awareness in terms of noticing my judgments. I love Rick Hansen's book about neuroplasticity, so I have been practicing being more kind to my, in a way, thoughts, thought patterns, forgiving my mistakes, etc., etc. But I realized that I still hold brain as superior to my body, and that I tell my body what to do, even though I think I take care of my body, but it's like a secondary.
Yeah.
And that's what came for me through this experience. Thank you.
Great insight. There's a wonderful line in one of James Joyce's short stories. Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body and cast awkward glances at it. I often, when I sometimes go to the gym and I watch people, it's like they sent their body in there and recollect it when it comes back. You know, we're discovering a relationship here between the mind and the body that's, you know, to find our harmony here. Yeah.
I feel more relaxed, more rested, and more grounded. And also while we did exercise and standing, I became more aware of minor aches and pains. But then when we did exercises on the mat, everything came back together, and I don't feel that those pains anymore.
Nice. Yep. And then over here. Sorry, and we'll come back over there too. And we'll come to this side of the room.
Just a practical question.
Yeah.
How do people usually move forward after something like this? I mean, you're just doing this class, you're doing some, things are changing. Is it something like with other sort of like exercise programs where people, it's like, okay, do it once a week or three times a week,
yeah,
or something like that?
So there are many people, glad you asked that question, who teach classes in it. I teach classes in the East Bay. That's why I brought a CD that has MP3s of many, many lessons, some of which we'll do today and many more. Every time you do a lesson, Feldenkrais called it, each lesson is an approximation of something. You know, we never really get to a final place. We just keep playing with the sense of learning and opening it up. Every lesson has an effect that will continue to ripple through you. The more you play with it as a method, the more you become attuned, in my experience, to your own process of learning about how you do what you do. So if you're drawn to doing this more, great, because in my experience, the more you do it over time, the more the whole body-mind system wakes up to its own signaling system, its own way of organizing, all of that. So it's very beautiful. It fits in with everything. So I would say if you like it, there's lots of free lessons on the web and on YouTube, you know, do it. There's over 10,000 lessons and many orientations for every single part of the body. So you can play with it almost infinitely. I'm going to take a here and then we'll come back and forth. Yeah.
So what I noticed was when I consciously connected my breath from inhale on the neutral to exhale on the twist, it felt much more freeing and just connected. An integration, and I guess more focus as well for me to hone in on very, very subtle movements with my hip and my neck. So
beautiful. Yep, that sense of finding where's an agreement internally. Beautiful. Yeah, over here.
Okay, I thought it was very interesting is a practice of basically body mindfulness, body mindfulness, I guess. And, you know, as we were going left and then right, I noticed I got to the point where I basically was able to go more than three, you know, all, more than the full circle. And then I thought, well, I was kind of thinking, well, that's, it was cool that I was able to push my boundaries like that. And then, but when simultaneously I noticed like more, like a lot of pain increasing in my neck while we were doing that. And it was like, why is my neck hurting so much? And I felt myself kind of stretching the neck out quite a bit. And then when we did the work down on the floor, I felt like the body changed again and that neck pain kind of decreased and like the neck pain went away. And then when we got up again and did the whole movement, I could still more or less do the full circle, but I felt like the body was just felt different at the time. And then another interesting thing for me, then now I feel a little, now I'm feeling the tension in my jaw, you know, which I wasn't feeling earlier too. And I know I have a history of like grinding my teeth and that kind of thing. So it's interesting how the tension or the energy is moving around in the body in the process. And I'm just noticing all that.
Yeah. You're noticing that things are reconfiguring.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed my hips were a lot yeah, more open than they were before. So it's just interesting just to pay attention to all that.
Right. And from what I said earlier, just a reminder that it's the lessons are not fundamentally about, they're not like exercise in the sense that you're really trying to push through something or go further or even try to make seeing further happen. It's about finding the internal sense of ease and comfort. So if you get a pain signal, it probably means you're doing too much and that you need to decrease the size of the movement until it feels light and fluid again. Because that should be the guideline, not the size of the movement itself, is the ease, comfort, lightness, less effort quality. That's where you'll get the improvement. But it's not unusual for to do a lesson. We did the same lesson in standing, lying down, and often you can do lessons in many orientations. Every time you do it in a new orientation, something new pops out.
Well, I'm just wondering then, what do you mean by the improvement? What's the improvement?
The improvement could be in the sense of internal ease. It could be like, or it, as you said, you know, it could be the sense of, oh, love the way my pelvis is connecting with my ribs right now. That just feels so light, easy to move, harmonious.
So it's kind of like more the quality than the quantity.
Absolutely. It's all about the quality and not the quantity. It's getting off the quantity metaphor to the quality. Yep. Because in our society, our culture, we're very quantity-oriented in a lot of our action. Push through, do more, do it faster, do it better, you know, hit that extreme. But when you do that, Feldenkrais talked about it as end gaining. You try to get somewhere right away, but you miss the entire process of getting there. So you often hear people talk about in a meditative context, the journey is the destination. It's a lot like that. This journey is the destination.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, maybe one more question. We'll have time for questions throughout the day.
Speaking of dichotomies, I'm having issues between relaxed and awake.
Yep.
When we were on the floor, it was very relaxing, but also sleepy. And I found myself like fighting to stay awake. And is that something I should be doing? I mean, even though you gave us permission to sleep, I still feel weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think the thing that happens sometimes in doing this is that when you start to really tune into the quality side of the way you like to organize yourself, a sense of great tiredness can emerge sometimes, and it's just sort of like, wow, I've just been doing so much. And the body wants to just take a nap. So, more power to that napping. And, you know, then you wake up, you took your nap, you feel better, and then you come back into being awake. It's okay. It's fine. You might all find, by the way, at the end of the day when you go home or even in the afternoon, that you get an incredibly good night's sleep. People who have done this have said repeatedly, incredible sleep or nap or something. Okay. So we'll do a little more meditative type of thing, and we'll have time for a few more questions as well. So once again, you can see the doing the lessons. You know, we're active doing the lessons, and then we rest and we simply observe or notice how our actions affect ourselves. So from a more meditative sitting perspective, and we'll do some lessons in sitting today as well, you're just simply coming back into attuning to the whole sense of the presence of the body-mind. Mindfulness meaning just simply noticing how it is as it's happening. You can do this with your eyes open or closed. We have used the breath as an anchor, as a way to simply be aware of something, some sort of object, as a way to attune the mindfulness. And at the same time, we've opened up the field of awareness for those who want to experience the field of awareness more expansively as listening, simply listening to sounds that arise, listening to the internal experience, internal sounds, sensations. You could use the metaphor of listening completely to describe the meditative experience, because listening is effortless, it's unbounded, nothing is obstructed from it. Right? When you're listening to sounds, to the sound of my voice, would you say it's near or far? That's just a concept. Listening is simply happening within the space of awareness itself. There's no real boundary to where the voice arises when you have your eyes shut. It's just arising in you, whatever you are. The sense of presence includes everything. Not just your own sense of the body and mind and the skin. The whole field of being aware. So now just attuning to the breath, the presence of the body, mind. Sometimes when people meditate, they have used as an aid labeling. Thinking occurs. Thinking. Sensations. Sensations. If that's useful, you can use it. Or you can simply rest in the presence of listening, awareness, whatever word you wish to use, to the sense of simply noticing the arising and passing away of experiences. there's a sense of being lost in experience, you can always come back to the breath. Just being with the breath. Just being in the space of welcoming. Being open to openness. If you wish, you can always return to the breath. Even if sleepiness arises, you can just be mindful of that. add one more element to the meditation. If you wish, you can notice the presence of the whole body, mind at rest. And bring awareness through the different regions of the body. You can start with noticing the legs and the feet and the contact of the feet with the floor. The sense of the thighs and pelvis also in contact with the surface and the presence of any sensations. Sense of your torso, stomach, chest, your arms and hands. Sense of your shoulders and neck and head. So that you're bringing the sense of awareness to the entire presence of the body, just simply sitting at rest, and mind, of course, body, mind, but just bringing awareness to each region, or simply even noticing that each region is there, is awake, is there, is present in some way. So really inhabiting, or if you like, occupying the sense of the body, mind fully, however it appears to you, whoever you are. Just being with the presence of the whole body, mind, simply at rest. In a sense, inhabiting yourself. If there's a particular region of yourself that you would like to listen to more fully, to become more attuned to, you can bring the palm of your hand to some region like your chest or your heart or your thighs or your arms, your forehead, wherever you might like to listen more fully into that area, using your hands as a kind of sensor so that the contact through your hands allows you to become even more attuned in your listening to a different region of yourself, if that works for you, as a way to just sensitize, attune more fully. And sometimes leaving your hand or both hands in different areas for several minutes can really open up the sensitivity to that region so that you begin to inwardly sense the dimensions of the body-mind with the encouragement of your hands as sensors. Just listening deeply. Just attuning to the presence of the body-mind, however it appears. Simply letting experience unfold in whatever way it does. Just welcoming sense of open awareness to everything. When you hear the sound of the bell, Notice how the sound travels through the space of the whole body-mind. When you open your eyes, you can still have that same meditative openness to the visual field. And notice as you look with your eyes how the looking also influences the whole sense of the body just being here. We'll be bringing the eyes into lessons in the afternoon after lunch as well. But we have a few minutes before we take lunch. If there's any questions about this or observations or insights, feel free to share them. I think there's a question in the back there.
I was wondering about the efficacy of this as you do it long term. Do you have to keep changing the types of meditation exercises as it goes, or is it better to just, if you like something, just keep doing it for as long as you want?
You mean with the sitting meditation?
The movements.
Oh, the movement. Well, you know, certain lessons can be extremely appealing, and you might be drawn to doing them over and over and over. And I mean, I've done some lessons many, 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 many times over the years, and they keep yielding delightful discoveries. But then, you know, there's a whole variety. What I find is that certain regions of myself often say, hey, how about a lesson for this? And then I get drawn into, you know, lately I've been quite fascinated with, you heard it in the lesson I was doing, the sense of pressure contact. I love pressure contact lessons because they open up that whole sense of being connected to the earth, which I find very pleasing and helpful. But, you know, there's lessons for everything, literally. So I just say play with it. This a question, one more in the back. There's a question over here too. We'll get one back and then come.
In the beginning, you were talking about how Moshe Feldenkrais created this as a healing mechanism for himself.
But I never met him, so I'm assuming that's the case, okay, from what I've heard.
And as I've been doing this, I'm struck by the healing quality of the exercises. So my question is, are there specific exercises that are designed for specific ailments, body issues,
yes,
mind issues?
Yeah. Yep, there really are. I mean, the interesting thing about the Feldenkrais method is that people from many different disciplines have been drawn to it. Performers, doctor, medical, you know, artists, everybody. So people tend to create a huge variety of lessons. So, you know, if you're curious about lessons for particular things, I can connect you with them. But there's just so many lessons, you know, it's just huge.
So you could perhaps Google.
Yep.
There's Feldenkrais lesson or whatever.
Lessons for improving knees, Feldenkrais method. You'll find tons of them on YouTube in particular. One thing I would caution you about YouTube lessons, I mean, you'll find them in audio format too. There's something called the Open ATM, Awareness Through Movement Project, where many teachers have just uploaded dozens and dozens and dozens of lessons that are free. You can just download them, and it's just huge. Don't watch the lessons on YouTube if possible, because when somebody demonstrates how they do it, it's not how you do it. And you can visually start to try to copy somebody doing a lesson, but that won't be your organization, and you'll artificially start to constrain your own potential if you start to copy people. So I really, unless you have to, don't look at the lesson. Turn it on, play it, lie down, do it.
Make it your own kind of thing.
Totally, because if you copy somebody else doing a lesson, it just is not that satisfying in the end. It just gets you into doing something somebody else is doing with their very unique structure. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And over here.
Thank you. You just reminded me of a comment that I was going to make before that I forgot, and that is, this is the first time that I've kind of given myself permission to do it my way. I have not had any faith in the way that, you know, that feels good to me. There must be something wrong with it. There's a right way to do it, and I'm not doing it right if I do it how it feels good to me.
Fantastic.
And that's kind of amazing. I still am, you know, not 100% sure of it. There must be something wrong with it. But I'm going to keep with that today.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm struck by is how difficult it is to do something effortlessly. And it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of focus, and, I mean, my question is there some, do you have any tips or tricks to make it easier?
Just do what feels light, easy, and comfortable. Let light, easy be your guide. You don't even need to pay attention to less effort if that is challenging. Just, does this feel light and easy for me? Okay, good. That's all. Light, easy. Light and easy will take you through the whole path. What happens with doing this, I mean, this the way I relate to it, is the attunement, the sensitivity to one's organism starts to open up channels to that inner guidance and that sense of inner experimentation with really basic things in life, like sitting comfortably or getting up from the floor or paying attention. And after doing it, and it provides a structure for that. You know, it's a type of practice. And after doing it a bit, you just more and more start to trust it because it's yours. It's your structure. It's your way of acting. But initially, there's a kind of weird crossing over of realizing, wow, I've been doing things with a lot more effort than I... And often people take lessons and they'll just like go to open their cabinet in the kitchen and they'll yank it open. They'll go, wait, what was that? it's like, it, just open it, you know? So there's a whole bunch of insights that start to pop up, and there's a reorchestration of the whole body-mind around just doing what's effective or efficient. So give yourself some slack, cut yourself some slack. It's not an exercise program. It's a learning program. These aren't exercises in the conventional sense. They're structures for learning. That's how I think of it. Yeah. Okay. Anything else before we... Okay. Great. Okay, so we'll take an hour for lunch. It's kind of interesting when you're moving around after doing a lesson of just noticing how the lesson affects your normal... sitting around, taking in the light and the sensory system being open and active and hearing and all of that. It's kind of fun to just walking, notice how it affects you. But don't try to do anything, just have fun. We'll see you back here in an hour.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.